Following the resurrection of the Savior as he walked along the way toward Emmaus with two of his disciples, and we're told that their eyes were holden, that they didn't recognize him. And when he heard what they had to say, he realized that they didn't comprehend what he tried to teach them. And so he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then, commencing with Moses and the prophets, he showed them how that in all things the prophets had testified of him. And you know that they did, even to the minutest detail, even to the casting lots for his clothing at the time of his crucifixion. And then Peter tells us that he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now I ask you here today, do you believe all that the prophets have spoken? And if you do, you'll realize what Isaiah said, that the Lord has declared the end from the beginning. It's all in the Holy Scriptures. And one of the greatest events of all the history of the world was, for as the prophets have foretold, was the preparation or the coming of the Savior in the latter days, when he will come in power and great glory with all the holy angels as King of kings and Lord of lords. And obviously, there has to be a preparation for that coming. I'd like to sort of preface what I like to say here today by the words of the song written by William Cowper that goes like this. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And I'd like to refer today to a few of the wonders that the Lord had to perform and is performing in order to prepare for that glorious coming of his only begotten Son, as the prophets have foretold. And I may repeat some of the things that have been said in this conference. I first refer to the statement of Malachi, when the Lord, speaking through the prophet Malachi, said that he would send his messenger to prepare the way for his coming, and that he would come swiftly to his temple. And who could abide the day of his coming? Because he would be as refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Now, obviously, that had no reference to his first coming, when he was born as a humble babe in Bethlehem's crib. But when he comes in, and he didn't come to his temple swiftly, and he didn't come cleansing or purifying, but we're told that when he comes in the latter days, that the wicked will cry out, "Let the rocks fall upon us to hide us from his presence." And then obviously, when the Lord sends a messenger to prepare the way for him, that messenger can be none other than a prophet. When he came in the meridian of time, the Lord sent John the Baptist, and Jesus bore witness that there was no greater prophet in Israel than John the Baptist. And we've heard here today from Brother Derek the statement about the bringing forth of the boy Joseph Smith, the prophet of the Lord, visited by the Father and the Son way back in 1820. If we could realize how this world has changed in the past 200 years because of the coming of the Father and the Son to usher in this dispensation, as compared with the centuries preceding, why didn't it happen 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago? But we are living in the day of preparation, and the Lord has sent his messenger to prepare the way, and he gave unto him the keys to organize his church and kingdom and establish the holy priesthood and the power of the apostleship as such as existed in the church in the primitive days. Then the words of Paul, he said that the Lord had revealed the mystery of his will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, And we live in that dispensation. He would bring together in Christ all that which is in heaven above and that which is in the earth beneath. Isn't that something to think about when you hear that the Lord will reveal the mystery of His will? And that mystery of His will has been revealed to His modern prophets of this day. And we have truths that no other church in this world know anything about. And we're the only church in the world that has a program to unite all for that's in the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of God here upon this earth, looking to the final winding up scenes when all the kingdoms of this world and the world to come will be under the supervision of our great King, the Savior of the world. Well, there are just some of the little things that need to be done. Now, there are many other things and prophecies foretold. When Moroni visited the prophet Joseph three times during the night when he was only 18 years old, and he had no church organization, and Moroni quoted some of the prophecies that were yet to be fulfilled in the preparation. And one was from the 11th chapter of Isaiah, where the Lord said that He would set His hand again the second time to gather scattered Israel, and that He would bring in the dispersed of Judah, and He would set up an ensign unto the nations. That He has done. There, our presence here in these multitudes where the Lord led us here to these valleys of the mountains is a witness that He has gathered scattered Israel, and now Judah's being gathered back to her native land after centuries, 2,000 years of wandering and persecution, and now has a nation of her own. All of this is but fulfillment of the prophecies that were to precede the coming of the Savior in the latter days. And then Isaiah goes to another statement regarding the latter days. It seems to me that he almost lived more in an our day than when he was here upon the earth, because he saw so much of what would transpire. He saw in the latter days, and he names the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house would be established in the top of the mountains. And we're here. And that all nations would flow unto it, and they would say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He might teach us of His ways, and we might walk in His paths." Thousands can testify how they've been gathered from foreign lands to these valleys of the mountains where this beautiful temple, just imagine the saints starting to build an edifice like that when they had nothing but their hands to build it with, and 1,000 miles from transportation. And one of the first things that President Brigham Young did when they entered into this valley, a wilderness, was to put his cane in the spot where this temple was to be built. Well, Isaiah saw all of that thousands of years ago. And that's another of the preparatory things that the prophets have foreseen to precede His second coming. Then we come back to Malachi the prophet again, and he said, "Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord," and we live in that day, preparation, "He would send His Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest He come and smite the whole earth with a curse." President Kimball spoke of that in his opening address. But I doubt if we have any conception of what that really meant when Elijah came. There are unseen powers that operate in this world upon the hearts and the minds of men that are as real as the sunshine is to the plants and the trees that help them to grow and the seed to sprout and so forth. And Elijah did come on the third day of April 1836. He appeared to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery in the Kirtland Temple and brought back the keys of turning of the hearts of the fathers to their children here upon this earth, and the hearts of the children here to their fathers. And that in itself is one of the great miracles of all ages. If you could just realize what has happened as the result of Elijah coming. At that time, there were no genealogical societies in the world, and now they're all over the world. And not only that, but I have a newspaper that came to me from back in Pennsylvania the other day, and the whole front of the front page of the paper was about the gathering of genealogy, and it told about our genealogical department out here. And I checked with Mother Burton, and they have what we have over 600 employees in that department, 80 men who are microfilming the records all over this land and in Europe, and then these great vaults out here in these in these granite mountains where they can be preserved. There's nothing like it in the world. And if you stop to figure how many people it took to prepare 4 million volumes of genealogy that we have in our library here, and then that spirit's moving on them all over the world. When I was down in the South, president of the mission, one of our new converts went in the library hunting genealogy, and he found one of their family name prepared by a judge and his wife over in Texas. And the preface read like this: "This book has been prepared by great expense and time and money on the part of my wife and myself. Why we have done it, we do not know. But we trust in the providences of the Lord that it will someday serve a useful purpose." And I can tell you more stories like that to show how the Spirit is moving upon the people of this world to gather their genealogy and preparatory to the work that we can do in our temples. And then just think of the thousands of people that are working in our temples day by day. All of that is a part of this great and marvelous work that Elijah was to come and bring. I was over in Europe and Israel a few years ago, and on one day we went into three of the synagogues there, and in one tied up on the side of the wall was an armchair. I knew what it was there for, but I wanted the rabbi to tell me. I said, "What's that chair there for?" He says, "So if Elijah comes along, we can lower it and let him occupy it." How little do they realize that Elijah has been. And if they could comprehend what has happened in this world, touch the hearts of men and women all over this world as a result of Elijah coming. Well, that's one of the great things that was to transpire. And then we come to the statement of Daniel and his interpretation. I got to quit. God bless you. I believe the words of the prophets, and I know that this church is the preparation, as all of the holy prophets have decreed, to prepare for the coming of our Savior. And may he hasten that day, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.